pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Roll call.
Commissioner Hart?
Here.
Commissioner Mello?
Here.
Commissioner Lindler?
Here.
Commissioner Veal?
Here.
Chair Fowle?
Just walked in.
I'm going to go through the approval of minutes and give it to you, sir.
Take as long as you need.
Approval of the minutes of November 19th, 2025.
Also move.
We have a motion to move. A second. And we have a second from Commissioner Hart. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Opposed? Motion carries.
Continue. Okay. I'll tell you when I'm ready.
Okay. Any person may address the commission on any subject matter within the jurisdiction or responsibility of the commission at the beginning of the meeting, or may elect to address the commission on any agenda item at the time the item is called by the chair, but before the matter is acted upon by the commission. Unscheduled comments will be limited to 5 minutes. Anybody here want to say anything that about an item not on the agenda? Seeing none, we will move on. Conflict of interest.
Hold on a sec, please. I'm a little bit behind because I didn't get the packet. I'm trying to download it.
Oh.
It's not downloading for me because my computer's
kicking.
Not liking the site. So I need to look at the agenda again and refresh my memory. Does anybody have an agenda I can
look at? What is the only one?
Okay, presentation of documents. All items presented to the Planning Commission during a public hearing become a permanent part of the record. 12 copies of any information presented to the Commission should be given to the Clerk of the Commission for distribution to the Commissioners. In order to obtain an accurate record of the testimony, please address the Commission at the speaking podium, clearly introducing yourself with your full name and address. Your address will not be included in the minutes of the meeting. A maximum of 5 minutes per speaker will be given so that all interested parties will have an opportunity to address the commission. The availability of public records. That is on the thing at the courthouse. Public hearing protocol is listed in the agenda. And I'm going to read you the right of appeal statement. Project Certificate Planning Commission meeting may be subject to appeal within 10 calendar days of today's meeting. If the 10th day of the meeting falls on a weekend, the appeal may be received and received the following business days. Please contact the county clerk for information. Appeals must be submitted to the county clerk's office together with the appeal fee of $1,250. If you challenge the environmental review or the project proposal in court, you may be limited to raising only those issues raised at the public hearing or written correspondence delivered to Siskiyou County Planning at or prior to the public hearing. Are there any changes to the items or the agenda today? Seeing none?
Vice Chair, we did have one. Mr. Carroll.
I was going to address the chair before the meeting, but normally, of course, in January, we put on the election of the chair and vice chair. That was not on our agenda. It looks like we would probably have to do that in February.
That's good. What we just did.
I won't be here, so good. Perfect. Okay.
Okay. I thought we just did that.
A year ago.
Really?
Time flies when you're having fun, Dusty.
Yes, sir. Are you ready?
I'm ready to go.
Go ahead.
All right. So staff is aware of that, to throw that on February, yeah. Even though it's not a normal agenda February item.
So. Okay.
New business agenda item one, the Elwood Ranch Sale Barn UP 2502, statutorily exempt from CEQA. Mr. Phelps, since you're the only one at the table, I'm going to assume you're running with this one.
Yes, okay. Chair Powell. Good morning, Chair Fowl, members of the commission, James Phelps, Senior Planner, County of Siskiyou. This project is known as the Elwood Ranch Sale Barn. It's actually, the proponent is actually Lassen Canyon Nursery Incorporated. The project is about building and operating a cattle auction facility that is estimated to be hosting 12 events per year. 2 to 3 of those events would be cattle auctions, and the rest would be agricultural educational seminars. The building is going to be approximately 8,000 square feet. It will have an auction floor, livestock pens, restrooms, covered patios, and office space for a staff of 4 full-time employees. The maximum number of people per event will be 150 to 200 people, and then there'll be 20 staff at each event, so it'd be 170 or 220 for each event. Cattle auctions are estimated to run over 3 days, 1 day for the actual auction, and then 2 days for setup and tear down time. The sale barn will be constructed on a 40-acre parcel just northeast of Lake Chestina. The zoning for that area is AG2 non-prime agricultural. The property is not under Williamson Act. The land is part of an ongoing agricultural operation there and adjacent to other properties owned by the project proponent, Lassen Canyon Nursery. Primary access to the sale barn will be by Big Springs Road and Juniper Valley Drive. Big Springs Road is the public road. Juniper Valley Drive will be a private road. Site improvements will include gravel parking, accessibility parking, and a new fire hydrant consistent with CAL FIRE requirements. Water will be provided by an existing on-site well. They will have to expand the septic system, however. Staff is recommending that the commission find this project consistent with the AG2 zoning district and the Siskiyou County General Plan. The new sale barn will support agricultural production by providing a local facility to hold cattle auctions without converting productive farmland to non-agricultural uses. Pursuant to Siskiyou County Code Section 10-64903, sub G, agricultural enterprises such as sale barns are allowed in the AG2 zoning district subject to a use permit. In reviewing the CEQA requirements, staff is recommending that the project be found exempt from CEQA under the common sense exemption. Staff's recommendation is based on the fact that the project involves infrequent, event-based agricultural activities with limited ground disturbance, no residential development on a property with no known sensitive biological, cultural, or hydrological resources. Environmental Health, Public Works, CAL FIRE, and the California Department of Fish and Wildlife all reviewed the project and found it had no objections to the project as proposed. Staff did conduct a vehicle miles traveled analysis pursuant to CEQA guidelines. Because this project is event-based and rural in nature, we concluded that a qualitative VMT analysis was the most appropriate methodology to employ. We estimated the vehicle miles traveled for that project, and if you look in your staff report, that the analysis for that was actually found on page 8 and 9. But basically, the events would only generate less than 1% of the average vehicle miles traveled in the county. And then the common sense exemption to apply because it's just common sense. If you have to drive less, that it's less of an impact to the environment. Staff is recommending a series of required findings and conditions of approval, namely limiting the number of events to 12 per year, requiring at least 2 emergency access routes, compliance with CAL FIRE requirements, and other conditions to ensure compatibility with surrounding agricultural uses. Staff is recommending that the Planning Commission determine the project exempt from CEQA, and staff is recommending approval of the use permit. I am available for questions. Thank you.
Okay. Any any questions for staff right now, or can you wait until we?
Pick a name.
No additional correspondence. We don't have any other county staff present for additional comments. So we'll go ahead and open the public hearing. Would the proponents care to come up and address the commission regarding the project? Just make sure you give your name and your address.
An awkward
podium. Yeah, let me move that. Apologize.
There we go. Thank you.
Kyle Maddie from NMR Architects, 300 Knollcrest is a business address in Redding, California. Been working with the Elwoods for 6 months or so on the project. Should be a good facility for them to sell cattle out of. I don't know if you've been to a bull sale. I'm new to this whole thing, but they're currently selling out of the Red Bluff sales arena, so this would be great to bring it up to Siskiyou County and have a facility that they can use. Any questions, let me know.
No, sir. All right, any opponents? Oh, additional proponents?
Yeah.
Yes, please, come forward.
Susan Crawford. So we're in, my son is.
We need your address.
Oh,
also,
sorry.
Just, it won't be published, but
okay.
For the record, please.
Okay, 2212 DeSouza Lane, Montague, California. And that's where our ranch is. My son also owns a ranch that neighbors us to off of Fairlane, or Freeman, the end of Freeman, Caven Crawford. He's a rancher, sells cows. So obviously he would probably be delighted. He's out of town right now, but he hauls cows down to Red Bluff often for the sales. So we definitely would be supportive of this sale barn. Another thing that I have been looking into, I've actually been looking at the place for probably 10 years, is the Louis Road Ranch. That's the big, I think you guys have all known about people trying to do wedding venues there. And of course they're faced with the traffic study, you know, all of that stuff. And so I hear that it's gonna come up for sale again eventually in the next few months. Looked at it again. You know, I think with the county, as tough as it is, you know, to accomplish the venue, from what I've heard, you know, them trying before, I'm not sure that we want to pursue the property. But we looked at it probably close 8 to 10 years ago, and when it was for sale then, with that thought in mind. There's not a lot of neighbors there, and 2 miles off the freeway, it would be kind of a perfect spot. The buildings there are perfect for wedding venue type ideas. So I would like to pursue that, but it kind of depends on how this goes today of whether we pursue it or not. You know, that place, that's, you know, a lot of times, we are into the hay production and all of that, but you know, the way that place was split up into multiple parcels now, can't even hardly do that. So in order to really help pay the mortgage payments, there needs to be something there that could help generate the income. And that place would be perfect for something like that. So maybe in the future we'll see you again. I don't know. It kind of depends how this goes. Thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else wishing to speak in support? Anyone in opposition? Anyone neither for nor against but wishing to speak in general? And we'll close the public hearing and take it up amongst the commission. And I will be patient before I unload. unless you want me to unload right now, Danielle.
Well, no, I just have a question. So on that, if you don't mind me going now. Okay. I just had a quick question on the ingress egress with that secondary access road that Cal Fire is requiring. So they didn't have a secondary access road coming in off the Big Springs Road. They just wanted two ways in and out off of from the project site.
With, no, off of Big Springs, both of them.
No, but I only see one ingress egress off of Big Springs Road.
Well, it goes clear through to 97.
Oh, it goes to 97. Yes, gotcha. Yes. Okay, that's what
that's,
I was missing.
That's the second ingress.
Okay, address. Thank you.
Because I've been down that road two or three times.
Okay.
That's a long time ago.
I haven't been down there. I mean, obviously I know
down
that
now.
Area.
Yeah, I go down it now.
I go down it about once a week, pick up my partner to go rest.
Gotcha. Okay, that was what I was missing. So I just, you know, having done those, typically they want, you know, two ways in and out off of a main line, not just within the property. So that's what I was seeing. Okay. Go ahead, Jeff.
All right, here's my first question. Oh, go ahead, Commissioner Veal.
Well, no, I took the advantage and visited the site, and
as did I.
And I thought it was really desirable. In fact, I met a ranch worker that drove me to it. You couldn't see it unless you knew exactly where it was. Have you been to the site, James?
I've just been to the Big Springs Road. I didn't want to go to this private property, private road.
So you haven't been out to the site?
Yeah.
No. The thing that I think it's a great idea, and it's a beautiful setting. I mean, you looked at where that, where he showed me where that barn is going, and so forth. The thing that I question is, why are we just 12 events, and why do we see 150 to 200 people? Who put that figure?
That was the project proponent. That was actually Lassen Canyon Nursery. That yeah. was what they wanted.
Do they do that because they're afraid that if they put too much that you might deny them? Or because what if they said 20 events?
If they had said 20, we would still do the same calculations, and then we would provide that information to the commission to make their decision.
Yeah.
Like staff itself doesn't make that decision. It's based on the planning commission. But even with 20 events, if you look, we estimated at 12 events, it's less than 1% of the daily traffic in Siskiyou County. So even if they went to 20 events, that's still going to be only 1%. Yeah, it would only be 1%. So they could probably go to 20 events, but they only requested 12. So that would be what we put into that,
so
that report.
If the conditions of approval say approximately 12 or 12 more or less, would that satisfy it? Could you put that in? So that you didn't have to get to it, things as, oh, we can't have this event because it would be over one. That doesn't make sense to me.
I understand what you're saying, but again, that would be up to the commission. And if the commission was comfortable enough to do that on its own, or if the commission wanted us to come back with an updated report with those increased numbers, we could.
Yeah.
But the commission itself determines what the conditions of approval are.
Except for that one person that lives on that Juniper Valley Road. That's the only person I see that would be affected by more events than not. In fact, they could, you know, you could have an underground nuclear testing out there and nobody would know what's going on.
And Commissioner Beal,
so I just don't understand what's the fear of over impacting that one.
Well, it's not so much a fear, it's just staff wouldn't recommend more than what the project proponent is asking for. And in this case, they asked for 12, and so that's what we brought before the commission. So had they asked for 20, we would have brought 20 and done that analysis based on that.
They don't know exactly who. They know they're going to be giving some agricultural seminars for people how to grow strawberries, how to raise cattle. They don't know exactly who else would want to use the venue. But it could be weddings or whatever else. They didn't want to be too impactful of their surroundings, but
I don't know how you'd be too impactful out there.
If you know, two times a month, so 24 times a year, it still wouldn't be an impact on anybody. It's one day typically for anything that would happen. So
Through the chair.
Through the chair.
Do I need to do it?
Okay, hold on. We're going to go to Ms. Lang first.
Yes. Haley Lang, I just want to note, you know, for our other typical use permit projects, I would just clarify, it would be good to have whatever the number the commission decides, have a number in there. I would caution against approximately, just we typically don't have that in there. If there's any compliance issues, you know, we want to be firm, fair, and consistent with all of our use permit holders. And that's not typical language that, you know, we've been using when there's occupancy and events. So I just want to...
We would use the words up to X.
Yes, that'd be fine.
Versus more or less, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes. Okay, I will entertain and allow. You have a comment you'd like to share?
I'm just wondering if it has to do with trying to avoid the traffic study, which was like $50,000. So when I visited with the county, they said, you know, so-and-so was approved for 8 without a traffic study. So maybe the fear is for me is if you say I want unlimited weddings, then they would make you do a traffic study.
And understood.
For the Lully Road piece, I don't think there's a whole lot of people affected out there either, but $50,000 is kind of a lot for a traffic study.
Yeah, I agree.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, other commissioners, before I get my list.
I visited the site and I concur with Commissioner Veal, and our county's broke. Anything that can help us pay the bills is okay with me. So, anyway, thank you.
Chair Fowle, if I could address Ms. Commissioner Veal.
Yes.
The project site itself is surrounded by properties all owned by the same applicant, so there really is no impact. Neighbors, that sort of thing. The entire area is owned by Lassen Canyon Nursery.
Yeah, and it's not a big deal, but you said Juniper Valley Drive approximately 1 mile from Northeast Community of Shastina. I think that's the project itself is probably closer to 2 miles.
Yeah, I was just doing a straight line.
Yeah. Even a straight line, I think, from where the project is, I think you're looking for 2 miles.
The farther the better. You know, I don't think there's an impact.
Anyway, that's my... And I know the several people out there that are really excited about seeing this go forward.
And then to address the traffic study, it's just the fact that it's coming off Big Spring Road, and that is a pretty large road that can handle that sort of traffic. I think the issue with Louis Road is how it branches off Louis Road, that might impact the number of events that you could have at that location. If that's not a definitive, I think that might have been an issue. Because I think it's a dirt road.
There's a 1 mile of paved on Louis Road, 1 mile of gravel, which is very wide.
Yes.
And then just a driveway up. Yeah. So it's not impacting anybody else's homes or driveway.
Okay, Commissioner Hart, before I go.
Here, several months ago, this commission approved the use permit for exactly what Ms. Crawford's talking about on Louis Road.
Yeah.
Yes. Unlike the rest of the commission, the planning or the traffic study gets way out of hand.
Me too.
Particularly on the stretch of East Louis Road, where there was a real issue, and there is right now with the road department, about the county road department not taking care of the road, and the landowner took care of the road.
Great.
So this issue that Dusty brings out about the number of people at the event, how many people did this commission approve for that wedding venue?
90.
I think it was about 12 events.
Yeah, we bumped it because we had the same discussion, why stop here? Why limit yourself? And we were told, hey, the commission can increase it. We had a discussion with Monette and said,
yep.
And so we bumped it.
Yes, and we also utilized an exemption and did a similar, in-house BMT analysis to be within.
So she's up to what number now?
That's what I'm trying to remember, what we ended up
making. Use permit's not issued yet. I believe the conditions of approval haven't been met.
but I don't remember off the top of my head what the...
But that really,
it was a couple hundred people.
Yeah.
It was, you know, yeah.
We went at least to 200.
And yes, been, and I think it was like maybe 250, 12 yeah. to 15 events a year type,
yes.
within that range. So...
Well, the reason I'm bringing that, I'm guessing you're under a time constraint to get this building built.
Oh, yeah.
For next September or October sale, whatever it is.
Yep.
All bull sales I've been to in my lifetime, you get 150 people to a bull sale, you're really doing good. And I've been to some pretty big ones throughout the country. Because everything you can do on the internet,
yeah.
you can attend all the bull sales where they're selling 600 bulls in 4 hours.
Oh, yeah.
So, population-wise, you're not going to have that many people. But for a wedding, that's another deal, depending on who's getting married and how many people you want to invite and pay for. So I'm like, yep, till we, I mean, is Mr. Elwood sure that he wants to limit it to 200?
If you want to increase it up and say 300 24 times a year.
So what's the procedure we have to go through as a commission to give them that latitude? Or whoever else might come along, because to restrict Ms. Crawford's son from purchasing that property because of the financial impact of that traffic study, mm-hmm. you know, you're going to spend a lot of money to buy a piece of property hinged on what that study is going to say in the future.
Mm-hmm.
That's a pretty big gamble.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know, we're talking two different issues here.
No,
but I'm saying. Is that the Tristan Allen?
Yeah, on the old Louis Ranch.
Okay. You know, they have recommended you come through down through the back way rather than come off the freeway to that site.
Well, I know.
Okay. And I think all Western Sikshu County wouldn't go through the route that they suggested. You would come off of the freeway, right? Get to it. That's what I did when I looked at it.
Well, because you're coming from Wairika.
Yeah.
Yeah, or Aetna.
You do the same thing.
But
right.
we're coming from the west.
Yes.
There's right. a bunch of county from the east.
Yeah. All I'm saying is a big portion of that wouldn't be using the route that they suggested you take to get to that.
I think it depends on who's getting married.
Well,
yeah, sure. If it's somebody from Butte yeah. Valley, you're going to have 90% of the people coming from the east.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Don't speculate on that.
I would, well, Commissioner Hart. With the number of people increasing the number, and the architect can speak to this, but there's occupancy requirements, you know, right? For a building that size, it might not be feasible to say 300 if the building can't okay. safely accommodate. So you want to make sure.
That's the restriction.
Yeah.
So before, and I know I'm getting off down a rabbit trail here, but before Ms. Crawford and her son pursue the possibility of purchasing that property, they ought to know what the capacity of that building out there to hold a wedding would legally meet. How many people could you have at that? And that's critical information that they need to consider purchasing this property before they go forward and spend money. And anybody that wants to take on something like anywhere in a county like that, there ought to be some steps in place here of what people need to look at before they go spend a lot of money pursuing stuff. But as far as this, I understand what you're talking about, 200, if that's
I think,
the capacity of the building, then we'll...
I think understanding the issues that came before with the Monet use permit, we did a different analysis, CEQA analysis, in this report, if you look. Usually our CEQA analysis is just a paragraph, but in this one, we actually kind of go through and explain why the vehicle impact or the mileage impacts wouldn't be so great. In future projects, including Ms. Crawford's, we would probably implement the same type of analysis, right, to determine just how much of an impact it would be countywide for an event. You know, so a traffic study might not be appropriate for that location using this analysis.
Mm-hmm.
That's why we chose to go this way, so they wouldn't have to do a traffic study. Does that make sense, sir?
Yeah,
because CEQA allows, in a rural setting, CEQA allows us local, rural counties a lot of latitude of how they're going to conduct CEQA. Using a model based on an urban environment isn't beneficial or accurate for a county like Siskiyou. So for us, we, instead of just saying, okay, you need a traffic study because, you know, it's not close enough to public transportation, that sort of thing, that doesn't apply in a rural county. So that's why we look instead at a qualitative analysis, looking at actual the site location and how that would be impacted, and the fact that it's close to I-5 and the amount of travel that's already occurring on I-5. So how much more of an increase would the wedding venue on Louis Road actually increase daily travel in the county? And if we assess it that way, it's going to be probably less than 1%, very similar to Elmwood.
So in the traffic study that you did for the applicants, did you do the full length of the road, that full analysis of people coming off that road, off the freeway, driving all the way east of Shasta River?
I think they did traffic counts on two locations.
Yeah, they did both, for west and east traffic.
So that information then is public document, is available to the Crawfords to be able to take that and use it. There's no point in doing another study.
Yeah.
You've already got one that's just been done. I had a real problem with how we just get so far out there. And I understand you have legal thresholds you have to meet.
Mm-hmm.
But in analysis of this stuff, in reality of what happens, because we can take the same thing with Juniper Valley Drive, which goes to a state highway, where we don't know what the build out is going to be with Juniper Valley going forward here. There's not that many people who live there now, but nobody thought that would happen with Mount Shasta Vista subdivision either. And you look at what we have. So trying to project into the future what the impact's going to be to the road, it has to be proportional to what these people have to mitigate for. So, and in the Allen's analysis, and I didn't participate in that because they were logging for us. Was there any kind of road tax placed on that?
No.
That was just placed on gravel pit owners.
No, I don't recall, and I was there at that planning commission. There was no discussion about taxes.
That was 20 years ago. The road department came in and started demanding a road tax put on use permits for gravel pits. So I just want to make sure that there isn't a little hidden thing here that's in there that we don't know about.
Through the chair.
I'll be patient, yes.
I would. Oh, sorry. Okay. Why in a county this size, with the population that we have, do we even need a traffic study?
State.
Yeah.
State law. It's part of the general plan.
Here's
we agree
my thing.
To it if we want state
have
funds.
This situation, this concert, whatever. Let everybody come that wants to come. If state wants to come up here and count the damn cars, let them do it.
I guess, Commissioner
Mello. Be careful
Mello,
what you wish for.
I guess, Commissioner Mello, I would say this. The state requires a traffic study, but the state also gives rural counties a lot of latitude on how it does the traffic study or how it does CEQA. And in our case, for this particular project, we said we didn't have to do a traffic count on either side.
Thank you.
We could do the analysis the way that we did it in this staff report, and it would meet CEQA. And I'm not comfortable talking about a project that's not present before the commission. However, that this same analysis would be applied to a wedding venue in the future.
Okay, and, if I was out of line, I apologize.
No, not at all. What I'm saying,
frustrated.
I'm just not comfortable.
We need money.
I'm just not comfortable providing Ms. Crawford.
No, that's okay. You don't have to apologize to
an opinion on something that isn't in my purview, and it's really the commission's decision.
Okay.
However, we as the planning staff would be able to bring a project before the commission that we felt comfortable recommending approval for.
Yeah.
And at this point, I don't see a problem with a wedding venue. I don't see the need for a $50,000 traffic study based on the analysis that we did for Elwood, we would use the same analysis. It would be different if it was a something bigger than what is envisioned. But at this point, you know, there are no red flags to indicate that.
Thank you.
I just don't know that you can decide how much traffic is too much. When the hospital was put in on Bruce Street, we asked the traffic engineer how much traffic is too much, and he says, I can't tell you. Can you tell how much traffic is too much?
We can't say how much is too much, but we can tell you how much it will be, and that's what we did in this. And like, we can actually tell you, like, based on the numbers that the architect and the project proponent gave us, we can tell you it's going to be less than 1% of the average traffic in Siskiyou County on a daily basis.
So if you can't say how much is too much, why do we worry about the traffic study?
I can tell you that. It was in one of the courses I attended at one of the workshops I went to as a planning commissioner. The trigger is that at some point, based on traffic or vehicle trips, they take a look at the accident rate in a certain location they run it through a formula, and based upon the number of trips, there is a associated potential accident rate, which then impacts additional improvements that need to be made on the street, whether it be, okay, now we've got to add a stop sign here. Now we have to add a stoplight here. But it's like, okay, we keep track of the traffic or the trips, and at some point, all of a sudden say, hey, our accident rate has gone up 20%. Now, based on the trips, okay, we need a four-way stop sign instead of a two. We need a four-way stoplight. That's why down here by Black Bear, that went from, we all remember, there was no stop sign, there was no stoplight. And in my lifetime, we've now gone from a two-way stop to a four-way stop to a stop light system, and that's just in 55 years. But that's vehicle trips based on accident rate.
Okay, I got you.
Okay,
one more quick, who counts the trips?
Caltrans can.
Caltrans does it on state highways.
They have a national.
What about Louis Road? Who counts about there?
County staff, public works.
So they send somebody out there and count cars?
No, they put counters out there.
Oh,
camera and the little strips that go across.
I'm not done yet here with this.
So. No, I've got a list of questions.
Well,
and
let me go down. Let me finish this. Then you can have the floor.
You're dealing with traffic, and there's a more important issue to address
right,
here.
The state owns a bunch of ground here on both sides of the road. And before that, it was a nonprofit that owned it, and they had events out there. They didn't have any use permit. They just had their events. People parking on Louis Road, and, you know, there were hundreds of people out there running around. I went to one of them. I don't know what's going to happen now. The state owns it because they also have a tribe involved in it. Again, I don't want to limit potential down the road of a young gentleman who's trying to get into agriculture. You've got another entity on the other end who is in agriculture, in logging. They've bought a piece of property and they're trying to create a venue. I'm like, Tony, we've got all this impact on that road, but we've also got this other potential big impact, and I don't want those two entities to be throttled down because of what the state may come in and do.
This comes down to the Planning Commission. You wield the ultimate power because you alone can approve the project. Staff will only bring you a staff report and point out all the issues that we feel that might be with the project. But at the end of the day, the Planning Commission makes that determination, and there is no repercussion unless someone chooses to file suit, and that's very rare in these type of projects. It's very rare because it's not involving anything. It's not on a sacred burial ground. It's not on a wetlands. You know, it's not something that would trigger, because if it was, staff would put that in the report and say, we should really think about this. But again, having an outdoor wedding on a ranch doesn't really trigger anything unless, you know, there's something that's known, like, well, this is the only place for this bumblebee in the whole world, you know, but there's not a thing, that doesn't exist that we know of. So long as there's no evidence, to indicate that sort of uniqueness, then I don't see that an issue with a wedding venue. But again, we can't make a promise at a planning commission on something that we haven't actually sat down and looked at. But at this time, I could say, like, I don't see an issue so far.
Okay, I'm jumping in here. So my first question to staff, and actually engineer might be able to answer this. The livestock intended to be sold in this sale barn, are they all raised and owned by Lassen? Or is this an auction barn that is in being intended to operate like Shasta or Orland and do consignments from outside?
No, it's all supposed to, it's all raised here.
Okay, thank you.
It's just steers.
Have you seen the site?
I know the site very well.
I mean, there's going to be a feedlot there that's humongous.
But you haven't, they already have one feedlot.
Well, this is a new one.
Yeah, no, I'm very familiar with this. That's why I asked that question intentionally. We're working on the general plan, and I've said this before in this arena. In my view, my opinion, building a barn, a nice auction barn, or simply having an auction in a pole barn on a ranch to sell your own cattle, your own sheep, goats, horses, etc., in my opinion, should not trigger a bloody use permit. It is an accessory use to agriculture, period. Noted in the staff report, that's one of the reasons why it didn't trigger CEQA, because it's accessory. My grandfather and Neil Thomas, my grandfather and Bill Beckman, for years had bull sales and horse sales right off of Highway 3 with more than 300 people in attendance. Heck no, the barn couldn't hold 300, but all 300 people aren't in the barn. No use permit, no traffic study. It was accessory to the ranch. We did it. And I really am strongly, emphatically imploring upon staff that as we continue down the finalization of this general plan, that we have got to make it clear that accessory uses to agriculture, farming and ranching, number one, should not trigger a use permit. Unless there's something really obscene out of place that would cause a trigger. The second, it's clearly stated in the staff report that other ag activities, I'm sorry, but whether it's Gracie doing a UC livestock symposium out there, whether it's Jagdeep doing a special presentation on strawberries, whether it's one of the growers or one of the buyers for Lassen putting on a symposium on strawberries or hay or grain or whatever the case may be, that's accessory, it's ag related, that should not trigger a use permit. I'm in strong support of this, do not get me wrong. What I am in adamant opposition is that Mr. Elwood has had to go through and get a use permit to do something that in my opinion should not have required one in the first place. Okay, so I've said my piece there. As an addendum, I am with Commissioner Veal, Commissioner Hart, etc. Question for the engineer. The site plan, correct me if I'm wrong, my rough numbers indicate that 80 parking spots that are delineated. And you figure how many people per vehicle on average?
Two or three, probably.
Yeah, I was going to go 2.5.
Okay.
So if you have 80, that's 160. You're at 240 at 2.5. there is room on that site that if you needed additional parking, you easily could do it.
Anywhere.
Parking is not a limiting factor here. The building itself, square footage, it says 8,000 square feet. Based on fire marshal standards, what is the maximum occupancy?
So it's 15 square feet. If you're sitting at tables and chairs, 15 square feet per person. If you're standing, it's 7. If you're cramped, it's 3. So let's just say 15 at the full 8,000, which that includes offices, kitchen, whatever. So. Not math anymore today. That's 500 people.
I was going to say somewhere 450 to 500. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, that's, yeah.
Now, those of us who've been around a while and been to UC events, bull sales, even with standing room only at the Red Bluff bull sale in that sale barn, I think maybe now you see 180, 200, maybe. Back in the 70s, yeah, we'd approach 300.
They were selling 400 bulls.
Yeah.
They were selling 70 now.
Correct. What is the feeling on, is anyone on the commission, and let me just run a, throw a few pieces of spaghetti against the wall. In regards to the number of events, are any commissioners opposed to adding the language if the proponent is in support of this, adding the language up to 24 events per year? Anyone in opposition to that?
You can go higher than that for me. But
you can go all the way.
Well, we are
strangled.
We need to set
maybe
a finite number.
Maybe ask the architect.
Yeah, the reality is they will never have 24 events through a year. I mean, you're not going to have events of any kind in January that are of any size, right? So 24 would be more than I could ever expect. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so Mr. Phelps.
I would, if you were to do that, it might be wise to continue it to another meeting to allow staff to update the numbers, because your staff report and the findings and everything will be used to support your decision if it's based on 12 events.
I'm going to give you the findings so you don't need to do that, and Mr. Elwood can move forward so we're not having to continue this.
Okay.
So the first amendment is that instead of 12, we're going to modify it to up to 24 events per year. And the findings will reflect back of its location, not being in an area where it would present a hindrance or a nuisance to surrounding compatible, it is a compatible use. It would not become a nuisance due to its location. Additional finding is that the traffic study clearly indicates that vehicle trips on the assessed ingress egresses from the north and the south do not indicate that 24 events in the course of the year would present a traffic issue. There are the two findings to support up to 24. Okay, commission. Anyone here in opposite? Let me go to the proponent on this one first. A couple of us up here are very familiar with bull sales, ag events, etc. 200 seems like a lot. And for our area, for a bull sale, yeah, it probably is quite a bit. There is a potential, I think, knowing what Kenny envisions, that this could be a prime location for true educational events on a very diverse menu of options. And I think there are some topics that he easily could draw more than 200. Mm-hmm. What do you feel as the engineer on this that a comfortable capacity would be for this facility and the location.
And, well, comfortable,
because you said we could go up to 500. I don't think 500 would be comfortable. Is there a number greater than 200 that you think would be optimum?
I'd say 300 or 350 would be the very most you ever want to put in that room.
Okay.
But if it spills out and you're talking about things that are not necessarily inside, but in that general area, so 300, 350.
You like 350?
Sure.
I like 350. Does the commission like 350?
Yeah,
350. Going once, going twice?
Let me ask you a quick, why do you keep using bull sale? That, there's nothing, no reference to be having a bull sale there.
Well, cattle auctions.
Well, I know, but it's...
He's going to be selling bulls, and he's running the genetic testing right now.
Oh, okay.
No,
okay, excuse me.
It's going to be bulls on feed and on test.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, he's ultrasounding them already. No, it's...
No, Will's got a pretty good program going on.
Yep.
There.
No, Dusty, I'm very familiar with what the aspirations are of this. I'm encouraged. It's a neat vision. Okay, so 350. Commissioner Hart, you had your hand up.
Counselor, are we getting out of line?
Oh, just a couple of thoughts. One is, I mean, this is in some ways doubling the number of events and maybe not quite doubling the number of people. It's certainly significantly beyond what was publicly noticed as the project. I mean, the applicant hasn't asked for all this. It's generous of the Planning Commission.
Well, Counselor, before you continue, answer me this question. Do you disagree that educational seminars and sale of owned livestock is not accessory to a ranch? Is that statement false?
Well, no.
Then how could it legally be in violation? That is what irks me. If it is Elwood cattle and it is education related to activities on the Elwood Ranch, Lassen Nursery, it's accessory. An accessory is allowed under our existing general plan. It's going to be allowed under the new amended general plan. It is allowed within our code.
Mr. Phelps,
I would echo Mr. Carroll's concern, and it really dovetails into what I had stated earlier about wanting to continue it if you change the substance of the request, because it wasn't noticed. The reason why perhaps it could be argued in the future that no one protested or received comments because everyone was satisfied with these numbers. However, if you increase those numbers, the public did not have an opportunity to object or comment on that. And we can't really say that the CEQA was done because the CEQA was based on a number of events, a specific number of attendees. This is actually done without any notice to the public, and it opens up the county to suit. It opens up Elwood Ranch as well to suit. At the end of the day, it actually, if someone did object, it would actually slow down the project.
Mr. Phelps, there was one parcel, one residence I see that was the only one affected on the entrance on Juniper Valley Road. Has that person been notified to this?
Our rules are everyone within 300 feet of the property, and in this context, no one was informed because every property in that area was owned by Lassen, so we would only be noticing Lassen Canyon Nursery.
So there would be no problem with notification?
No.
Well, at the general public itself,
it's due process.
Even if they didn't get noticed, just the public can comment and the public can sue on anything they want. We're basically saying this was the project that was proposed, but we're going to do this instead. We're switching it up so that it opens up the county to litigation, and I think Mr. Carroll would agree with that. And that's why I had asked for the continuation.
That definitely was the thought in the back of my mind. I mean, preferably we keep it simple and simply approve the applicant's project as the applicant asked for it. They can always come back and amend it if they need to do more or expand more people, more events, or more types of events. They always have the right to come back and ask for an amendment to the permit. It's a significant change in the project, and you know, I realize perhaps the chance may still be very small, even if we go through and double the number of events and the number of people, somebody may come along. I mean, there is a legal risk, I think, to making all these change-ups, even
rather than delay.
If it's not considered a minor amendment, they have to legally renotice it.
Because CEQA, sir, is basically significant effect on the environment, and it's a really easy argument to say, well, you've doubled whatever you wanted to do. How is that not significant? You doubled. It doesn't mean they prevail, but it means there's a hook for them to do that suit. Not that anyone would, but that's the whole point of following this process.
Okay, then let me ask this, and now I'm going to let the proponent weigh in here. If I get the potential legal argument on the doubling of the number of events, makes perfect sense. In council and Mr. Phelps, in your opinion, bumping the attendance, if it were to remain at up to 12, would an increase of 50 be significant? Can we do a minor amendment up to 250 attendees?
Right now it's
because right now it's at 200 plus employees.
Yes, so you'd be going from 220 to what, 270.
Mm-hmm.
I myself would say it's not, but again, I think it's beyond the scope of what we had noticed for today. That's
okay.
Basically.
Then I will ask the engineer who is representing Mr. Elwood. Hearing the discussion of the commission this morning, would it be your preference for us to act on what is before us today or continue it for a month, renotice it, and act on it next month with knowing that the amendments we are making is to increase potential number of events and increase the ceiling for attendees?
I'd say act on it as it is right now.
Okay. And then
the
Mr. Elwood can come back and amend it.
Yeah, if we need to come back and amend it, we will.
Okay.
The actual construction wouldn't change
right
away. So we want to, we're submitting to the building department any day now, mm-hmm, as the construction engineer gets done.
Yeah.
So we want to move that process.
Good.
Okay.
Okay.
All right. Well, you know where we sit to relay that to Mr. Elwood.
Absolutely.
If he would like to follow this up rather rapidly with an amendment to the use permit.
Yeah.
Okay.
Chair Fowle, just one last final comment, sir. It's not that anyone would prevail in a suit, but it's an easy lawsuit to get an easy payment. They can
right
say, like, we're going to sue the county, we can drag this out, everyone suffers, or you can pay me $30,000 and we go.
Understood.
And there's no need to do that.
Okay.
So I have a question for you.
Yes.
I've never been, well, I've been to one sale in my life. But like where the where like all the stock trailers, et cetera, would park, like if they're outside, does that need to be on the plan or no?
There is so much room for trucks and trailers to park here, and
but it doesn't need to be part of the plan. I mean, I know the site is flat as a pancake.
I don't think for the vision that Will has on this, the majority of the bulls sold out of this sale are going to be going on stock trucks because they're going to be going in batches of 5, 10, and 15 to this place, that place, and the other place. And they're going to be hitting the interstates and dropping off on the way.
Gotcha. So
that's what most of us who buy bulls now, I'll buy a bull back east and I'll throw it on a truck and it ends up here in California eventually.
Yeah, midnight.
Yeah. But even locally, you go down to Red Bluff, you take a look at how many buyers show up there now.
They don't.
They don't show up with the truck and trailer anymore because there is
delivery.
It's all commercial.
Okay.
Yep.
Got it.
The times have changed versus when my grandpa had T.D. Herberts and whatnot. Everybody showed up with a pickup and a trailer, and then it was, we funneled them through, backed up, load up, go out French Creek Road and circle around.
Tells you how long it's been since I've been to a sale.
Yeah.
And then as far as like the septic, that's obviously going to be delineated from the road, so nobody's impacting that. I just see it's...
Yeah, it's far enough off the property line.
It'll be, okay.
It's well away from any roads.
Perfect.
Okay, I will... the proponent knows how the commission feels, and commission, I would entertain a motion to the commissioner so feel
to make
one.
I'll make a motion if it's my area.
I'll make a motion.
All right.
I move that we adopt resolution PC 2025-023, a resolution of the Planning Commission of the County of Siskiyou, State of California, determining the project is exempt from CEQA and approving the Elwood Ranch Sale Barn Use Permit 25-02.
I'll second.
Been properly moved and seconded. Any further discussion on the motion? Hearing none, use permits are voice vote. All in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Opposed, same. Let the record show unanimous approval of the project.
Thank you
for your time and coming in. Our next question before we move on, yes.
So is this, I guess I missed what was said about, is this a public auction with other?
No, private.
Okay,
private.
So this is not, doesn't even help my son?
We can't, we are unable to comment on a hypothetical future project, but you heard the discussion of the commission.
Yeah.
And you can take that for what it's worth and know how to present your idea or your son's idea to staff at the appropriate time.
Okay. I'm
if
just
you read between the lines.
On the ag barn that is, or the wholesale, that is not a public sale.
It's open to the public to attend and buy, but it is selling ranch-raised, ranch-grown livestock.
Chair Powell did say that the move in the future is that these sort of things you'll be able to do these on your ranch without a use permit. So
that would be my hope.
If your son wants to sell his bull on his land, you can do that in the future.
I see.
So I mean, I do private treaty, but
he'll still be driving
to
Red Bluff for his cows.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thanks, everyone.
Or he can sell locally on his own.
Yeah, he's done a little bit of that too.
Yeah. I would say, Commission, I do like the lively engagement. This makes these meetings way more interesting, and that you guys are invested. I encourage that. You know, I really enjoy these meetings when people participate. I think.
You hear that, Council? He's encouraging us.
But we learn. We all learn. You know the contours.
I'm sorry, but
did you learn a lot?
I'm not on the board. At Grenada, it's like can't discuss anything.
Yeah.
Thank you. Bring that.
Okay. I have a tap on my arm. Is that a request for a short recess?
Can we relook at that in the valley about vacation? No?
Let's bring that discussion up at commission comments.
Okay.
Do we need a break for anybody?
Let's take a 5-minute break.
Okay, we'll take a 5-minute break and reconvene at 10:09. The reflection there is... Yeah, 10:09. The commission back to order and take up agenda item 2, which is a staff report on general plan, specifically on the open space and conservation element, GPA 2601. Is this Ms. Lang or Mr. Phelps?
This is me.
Okay. You're on.
Thank you, Chair Fowle, Commissioner James Phelps, Planning Division, Siskiyou County. This item is a discussion of the open space and conservation element of the Siskiyou County General Plan. There are two exhibits. One is the original draft from July 2025, and then the staff updated draft from December 2025. I did create a staff report addendum which describes the differences. It's the 5-page document that will just tell you what the differences are specifically, because having to read 50 pages of documents can be trying. I would say staff's emphasis in editing this was to comply with and follow prior recommendations of the Siskiyou County Planning Commission to emphasize working lands and emphasize the fact that open space and conservation are a natural result of agricultural lands and not a distinct benefit separate from working lands and agriculture. So the structure of the two drafts are very similar, right? We have an introduction on both, and we have each section was kept in both drafts, but again, the emphasis was retooled by staff to be compliant with state law and the actual realities on the ground in Siskiyou County. Going through, I would recommend following along on the document called Staff Report Addendum. That's probably the most accurate. So both versions of the elements have the same goals, the protection of natural resources, supporting agriculture and forestry, conservation of open space, and recognition of cultural and scenic resources, as described in section 3.1, the introduction. The primary difference, again, is how we describe the county's role. In the original draft, the consultants seemed to overstate the county's goal. We are not actually keepers of a lot of this. A lot of the responsibilities lay with, like, perhaps the regional water boards, that sort of thing. So we retooled these elements to accurately reflect the county's actual role in the process. Does everyone have that document called Staff Report Addendum?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I ended up getting it.
Here's another one.
Give that to your file.
Exhibit B?
Well, Exhibit B is just the actual.
The staff report addendum, yeah. I did get my internet.
Oh, that's up at the top. Okay, I scrolled past that.
That's actually the actual. That's the most important document, Chair Fowle, to really understand the differences between the two.
Gotcha. I thought it was, when you said addendum, I was looking at the end, and I'm like, wait a minute, I've just got the second draft and the first draft here. Okay.
So basically, the concern with the July draft was it had a lot of implementation programs and requirements that were being imposed on the county that really wasn't appropriate and wouldn't be approved by the board. It was calling for new ordinances and different overlays and generation and creation of databases for things that, for one, the county wouldn't be willing to spend and probably didn't need to, and really overstepped the county's authority. Instead, the December draft, we brought it back to clarify that the county really is limited to land use planning and discretionary review. And our goal more as a county is to coordinate, because to use an example, the county doesn't develop water supplies, right? That's with the local GSA through SGMA, right, and the water boards. But the county can facilitate, and the county can make recommendations and help organize those sort of things. But the county shouldn't be trying to take ownership of projects that it doesn't have the authority to do. So we did that. We brought the element back to be more appropriate. Both drafts do address water resources and groundwater sustainability. However, the July draft includes policy and program language that could be read as committing the county to water storage planning, groundwater recharge planning, watershed program development, or adoption of new water-related ordinances, none of which the county has authority to do. The December draft instead states that groundwater management authority rests with the GSA, the Groundwater Sustainability Agency, and that the county's role is to ensure discretionary land use decisions are consistent with the groundwater sustainability plans that have been implemented. We also pulled back some of the language implying county responsibility for infrastructure development or direct groundwater management. Just like we don't, you know, Hornbrook has some water issues, but we as the county does not, you know, will not be developing water storage at Hornbrook. You know, we can help facilitate that, but that is within a different agency, and it's maybe perhaps the state, but it's beyond the scope of the county itself. We don't want to bind the county to things that make the county liable, because if you put that in the general plan, it makes the county liable for not doing it, and then we get sued. You know, we want to avoid that.
Mm-hmm. So since this is a discussion and
yes,
an overview,
sir.
I'm going to jump in here real quick. You feel free to answer this. Council, my question is kind of directed your way. With what Mr. Phelps just said as it pertains to the GSAs having the quote-unquote control, by default, the county has, let me rephrase this, because of legislation, counties were directed by the state to create the GSAs, which were directed to write the GSPs, which were in turn approved by the state. Do you believe that the county as county government does not have the oversight authority of GSA actions?
Well,
because aren't they technically a subset of the flood control district?
Well, yeah, technically the GSA is a separate independent entity completely, not under the supervision of the Board of Supervisors, technically, even though it's composed of the Board of Supervisors. You know, there's kind of a real world county overview, and that the same five supervisors are the same five GSA. But
GSA,
in terms of a legal framework, technically the county doesn't.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I ask this because we are soon to be faced with a conflict of regulation where we have a State Water Resource Control Board that has certain regulations that are being applied to private land. We have a North Coast Regional Water Quality Control Board that has another set of regulations being applied to private land. And then we have AB 263 establishing minimum in-stream flows, which is going to impact additional regulations on private land. And then we have the GSAs that have written the GSPs, which has regulation on private land, all involving water. At what point does the county say, time out? County's going to be killed. What we view as fundamental and foundational to our county cannot exist under this umbrella of a quagmire of conflicting regulation. There's going to have to be a decision. Does the GSP have priority? Does the emergency drought reg have priority? Does the irrigated lands WDR have priority? Does AB 263 potential implications have authority? Who's top dog here? And that's a question that I think, I don't know, is that appropriate to be addressing in the general plan is our county going to take the position, these are our constituents, we have a flood control district, we are responsible and will take responsibility for the management of our water, and I'm talking specifically the groundwater. Surface water gets, there's a whole nother state water law that applies there, but groundwater